The Crisman Commentary is a widely read daily market commentary that covers everything related to the mortgage lending business. Robbie and I talk a little fintech and what it means to follow a legend. Hey, Robbie Crisman, welcome to Renovation Radio.
Thanks, Mark. This is actually one of the biggest honors in my mortgage career so far, being guest number one for you.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So this is the flagship broadcast. So so we appreciate you taking some time out from your busy schedule to be our initial guest. So let's get going. Let's tell the audience a little bit about you, your origin story. So tell us a little bit about yourself. So where are you from? Where'd you grow up? School or no school? And where are you living? And what are you doing now?
Make it sound like you want the Joaquin Phoenix Batman origin story here, but I'll try and keep it brief. I grew up in the Bay Area, and my father has been in the mortgage industry since the mid 80s at various companies. And I actually started working at mortgage companies when I was about 16 years old. I would commute over to the East Bay from the North Bay. I'd get on the BART train at 4:30 in the morning and go to Residential Pacific Mortgage in Walnut Creek. Wow. And I can't say that it was very enjoyable, either the commute or the work I was doing. I was drawing docs and just kind of running around doing whatever people told me to do, but it gave me a taste of the mortgage industry and I got to see the different departments. And from there, I had a few mortgage internships in college. The one that was most memorable was working at Bay Equity. I worked under a guy named Chad Santander, who runs secondary there. And that really exposed me to capital markets functions. And after graduating college, I was fortunate enough to find this company called SoFi, which is now the title sponsor of the LA Rams and LA Chargers football stadium there in LA. And they were a student loan refinancer at the time, but they wanted to expand into mortgage, and they knew me kind of through my Rolodex and came on kind of a jack of all trades at the start. I think it was employee number 30 overall for the company, and we grew this mortgage department from nothing into where we were doing about $200 million a month when I left. It was everything at the time, from setting rate sheets to meeting with different CRM companies to working with our engineers to implement our workflow, a lot of different things. By the time I left, I was director of capital markets there. We were doing various securitizations, selling to the cash window, doing some TBA trading, some AOTs. And after that, went off to Texas, worked for a company called The Money Source. And I'm now kind of a Crisman LLC employee. And so it's been kind of a lifelong journey. I guess I'm a mortgage lifer. And we used to joke about how, oh, you never want to end up in the mortgage industry. But now I've come to realize it's a great place, and there's a lot of really good people, and it's a good way to make a living. So I really enjoy it, and I think it's something I'll continue to do.
Yeah, so you're a Bay Area kid, and now you're living in Texas. You're in Dallas? Is that Dallas proper? Is that right?
I was visiting there last week when we were coordinating this. I went to the University of Texas. So I caught a football game at my alma mater this weekend. Nice. Maybe down on Texas Tech. I actually live in San Diego, and it's not a bad spot to be.
Okay. So Hook'em Horn, now living in Southern California. So are you still like a Giants fan, baseball fan, sports fan at all?
I grew up going to A's games and Raiders games and Warriors games. So it was East Bay rather than San Francisco. And that was back during the Moneyball era.
You know, sure.
When Billy Beane originally came on, and they had that big win streak of 20 games that one year, Scott Hatterberg. And that was always neat, because my friends that would root for teams across the Bay, the Niners or the Giants had Barry Bonds, and they went to the World Series versus the Angels in 2003, and they got a new baseball stadium. Meanwhile, the A's field is like the worst place to be in the entire MLB. So yeah. I always felt like I was more of a true fan than some of my counterparts.
So not Niners. You like the Raiders. Now are you a Las Vegas Raiders fan? Is that
once you bleed the silver and black, you bleed the silver and black forever. You can change your wife, you can change your religion, but you can't change your football team, is what I've heard.
Interesting. Interesting. So, I just a quick little side note. It's funny you mentioned Moneyball and the Michael Lewis, the author of Moneyball. I kind of attribute him a little bit to my start in the mortgage business. I'm a little bit older than you, but he wrote another book called Liar's Poker, which I read in college. And once I read Liar's Poker, it was about the start of the mortgage-backed securitization market with Lou Ranieri. Legendary story now. And that was a book here. I read the book in college and I changed my major from forestry. I thought I wanted to be a park ranger to finance and business and wanted to be on Wall Street. So I had the pleasure of meeting him in Fort Worth, Texas a few weeks ago. I've read all of his books. I'm a huge fan. And it was funny. The theme of his talk was he kept coming back to this. He said he couldn't believe the letters that he's gotten over his career after Liar's Poker, about people who had decided they want to be on Wall Street after writing Liar's Poker. And that wasn't the point of his writing it, but he kind of feels responsible for a lot of folks getting into the business. And I'm sitting here in the crowd listening to him. I'm like, yeah, I'm one of those guys too. So, but interesting. Go ahead.
You don't ever miss being a what would it be? What do you call someone who majors in forestry? You don't miss working for the U.S. National Park Service. What would you have done with that?
Yeah, I wanted to be a park ranger. I grew up in the city. I grew up in Atlanta in the city, and didn't do much outdoors till I went to college. I had a couple of roommates I'm from Atlanta, so a couple of roommates that were from South Georgia, and got me into hunting and fishing a little bit, and I really liked it, and had no idea what I wanted to do. Georgia had a forestry program, so I thought that's what I wanted to do. And I heard they give you an assignment. You get a Jeep and a cabin and a place to roam. And that sounded pretty good to me at the time. Until I heard about the guys on Wall Street and stuff they were doing in the late 80s, early 90s. And I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to that. Now that I'm getting on the other side of my career.
No, there's a little better money on this side of things than those.
perhaps. But it's all about making it. But I think you said it as part of your story. It rolled. Ultimately, it's all about part of making a difference. And I think you recognize that. It's interesting. Your start into the mortgage business is kind of a tongue in cheek thing that we have some friends of mine that have always said is like, how did you get into the mortgage business? And sort of our sort of line was, some kids wanted to be a doctor, some kids wanted to be a fireman, some an astronaut, and I always wanted to be a mortgage banker, right? So here, and that was always just tongue in cheek. It's like you kind of just fell into the industry. And there's a lot of us that are like that in housing finance. You, on the other hand, you're taking as a teenager, you're taking the BART, across town and doing doc packages as a teenager, and here you are still doing it. So that's pretty cool.
Well, there was a joke I liked to make when I was a kid about how when we'd have career day, I would tell all the my fellow students that my dad danced at an exotic nightclub because I couldn't bear to let them know that he was in mortgage banking. But I all kidding aside, when it comes to mortgage banking versus other types of finance, we are putting people in homes, and that's such a significant purchase and a meaningful purchase for them, or helping them save money when they refinance. So I think that there is really good common good that mortgage companies are providing for society.
No, there's definitely an impact. It's a very specialized field. There's only, housing finance, mortgage bankers, whatever you want to call us, right? There's only three, maybe 400,000 of us. A very specialized industry. Not a lot of folks understand mortgage banking, but the thing that we do, and you probably experience this a little bit at SoFi, you guys can make the coolest front end system possible, and really try to get into artificial intelligence and really do some whiz bang things with a startup. But at the end of the day, the standardization and the liquidity that the mortgage banking industry brings really trumps everything. And so it's like it really doesn't matter how great the front end is, SoFi has done some great stuff. Don't get me wrong, but you still have to create you know, loans that fit into a mortgage-backed security to be competitive. You know, the fact that we can deliver a fully prepayable 30-year fixed rate mortgage, you know, better than any country in the world, and you know, and the leverage and the liquidity that's provided by that standardization, you know, no matter how sophisticated technology gets, you're not going to be able to overcome that obstacle. So in a sense, you know, going back to, you know, what Lou Ranieri did and it was chronicled in the book Liar's Poker, you know, our industry got disrupted, you know, 30 years ago, 30 plus years ago. And without technology, just with a good idea and the execution of a good idea. So I love the stuff that SoFi is doing, but ultimately they're not going to be able to replicate the liquidity and standardization that we deliver as mortgage bankers. And without us, yeah, I mean, sure, it'd be great to get a loan on your phone, like you do a car loan or a credit card. But you're going to be paying somewhere in the, you know, high fours, mid fives, probably. Rates are in the high to mid twos right now for a regular Fannie Freddie conventional mortgage loan. And if you want a fixed rate, you're going to probably have a prepayment penalty. And if you don't want one of those, you're probably going to have a balloon or an arm, you know. So that's the reality of it. And it's very specialized, but I think it's a great service that we're all doing, putting folks in homes and doing it with extremely high leverage and very affordable interest rates.
Certainly. And one of the key points you hit on there is people look at the mortgage industry and they say, God, cost to originate a loan is almost $9,000 for a lot of these companies. That's got to be ripe for disruption. Let's get the appraisal cost down, get the LO comp down. Let's disrupt in these different ways. And then they realize there's a lot of rules and regulations, namely for the consumer's protection and the consumer's benefit, that make it a lot harder to just come in and change things like you could with credit cards or auto financing or whatever else it might be.
Yeah. So it's I'm very proud of our industry. You know, we I think we do a great service for the U.S. economy, and it's in our secondary mortgage market, mortgage banking, housing finance in the U.S., whatever you want to call it, is really the envy of the world. It's the most liquid market in the world as far as fixed rate securitizations go. And it's because of the stuff that we do, you know, every single day. So that's great.
And it certainly feels like a close-knit community. If you go to these conferences or something, people know each other, and which is amazing considering the outsized impact it has on the U.S. economy, as we saw 12 or 13 years ago.
It is. It definitely is a tight community. A lot of business gets done over a handshake and trust and your reputation. So I think those are good things as well. So you are currently, I think you mentioned at the end of your story, you're a full-time employee of Chrisman Inc. And so your father, if you're second generation, third generation mortgage banker, your father, as you well know, is a legend in our industry for a lot of reasons. But the main reason is, you know, he was on the cutting edge, bleeding edge of something, you know, years ago called a blog. You know, so a blog, it's probably hard to imagine, but I according to Wikipedia, blogs started in 1994. So I guess the internet was around then, but it wasn't really used by many people in that time. I was just getting out of college. I'm not sure, were you even born in 1994?
I was born in 1994, okay. I had not been around for a long time.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you know when your dad started his blog?
He started it. Well, so it goes back to the 90s. He worked at a company called Tuttle, and they were on the risk management side of things, and they put out daily color to their clients about what was going on in the market. And he kept that going even after he left Tuttle and went and worked for Chris George at CMG Mortgage. And he just kind of built the contact list. And over time, people came to see it as a free resource for what's going on and kind of unbiased news in the industry. It's kind of the go-to place. And so he's always said it was about educating and informing people, and look where it's got him today. It's been great.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think I can't remember if I signed up for the blog and I got the emails for free, but I'm pretty sure I was an early consumer of his. And now it's really become a staple in the industry. And it is an incredible resource, you know, for all of us to get up to date information on what's going on in the industry. But yeah, it's hard to picture, you know, a blog was a new thing at one time, and now with phones and all the stuff that we do now with social media, I guess in a sense a blog was a very rudimentary form of social media. I guess message boards came later. And now we've got, of course, a million different mediums to communicate over our phones and whatnot through the internet. So it's interesting.
Certainly. And that does not mean it is above me giving him constant, you know, rubs for, hey, we got to change this. It looks like it's a little outdated. You know, there it is. However, a lot of these people working at mortgage banks, they've been in the industry since the 80s or 90s, and it sings to them the way it looks.
Sure. No question. So stepping into your father's, you know, footsteps, I mean, that can be tough. Let me throw a couple of names at you and just sort of see, get your, if you know who these people are, and get your initial reaction. So I'll say, this one kind of comes from the South part of the country where I'm from, but, Ray Perkins, you know, does that name ring a bell at all?
I don't know a Ray Perkins.
Okay, well, so he followed a legend, you know. So he was the guy that replaced. So Bear Bryant in the early '80s retired from University of Alabama. Ray Perkins was the head coach of the NFL Giants, and he left that job to take over Alabama, and he didn't last very long. So it's hard sometimes to be, it's hard to be the guy that takes over for the legend, right? That follows the legend's footsteps, you know? So that was one that, I mean, definitely a great man, and a great football coach in his time, but it was just, well, it's tough.
You know, what's funny about that is I go to these conferences and people come up to my dad and, oh, Rob, nice to meet you. I've read your thing for forever. And they treat him like a legend in his own right to a lot of people. He is. However, he's my dad.
Right.
It makes me think of this. I think it's a Bill Burr skit where he's talking about how the Church of Scientology has it a lot harder than other religions because there's live footage of L. Ron Hubbard stubbing his toe on something and going, dang it. And it's like, it's hard to associate that on the same level with someone like Jesus or Muhammad or whatever, when you can see them and stuff. So, you know, I see him walking around the house in his boxers, putting on his pants one leg at a time. So it's a little different for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I kind of wanted to go with that a little bit. Let me give you another name. It's from the business world. How about Jeff Immelt?
I don't know Jeff. I feel like I'm striking out coming in.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. No, that's good. So he took over at GE for Jack Welch. Of course he's not there anymore. But it was tough. He had a tough. I mean, Jack Welch, perhaps the most legendary CEO of all time, and, you know, one of the most legendary CEOs in corporate America. Tough act to follow, right? And Jeff, he did okay, but it was tough sledding. So that's that. I bet that is an interesting perspective for you. So, like, I met your dad at a conference for the first time this year in Orlando, and I felt like I've read his blog, you know, for so long. And everybody in the industry, you know, kind of knows who he is. And it was great to spend just a few minutes talking to him, you know, and just talking shop and whatever. But for you, that's your dad, right? How is it to see, you see him as your dad, which is great, but other folks kind of maybe put him on a pedestal a little bit.
Well, I see him as my boss too. So at the end of the day, if I want to keep the paychecks coming in, I got to put him up on the pedestal as well. But I think one of the things that he's been so good at over time is he's a very smart man, yet he makes things simple for people in this industry. And I think that takes a level of intelligence that a lot of folks out there running secondary markets operations or doing engineering at companies, they don't really have. He can relate to people. He knows how to break things down, and he knows how to explain it in a way where people say, God, I want to keep reading that. That's good stuff.
No, it's definitely been successful. And I think you're right. I think he's also got a bit of humility as well. You know, he puts his jokes in there to keeps it light. Obviously he's talking about a very complicated thing, you know, hedging, you know, where interest rates are headed, where mortgage rates are headed, what drives, you know, mortgage interest rates. It's very complicated. and very boring to most people, especially if you're a mortgage originator. But you want to know, you know, where mortgage rates are going and understand it, so you can talk intelligently to your clients and others and business partners. And so I think that bit of humility that he throws in is a big part of his success.
Well, I'm going to throw it out the window and say, if you read something complicated in there, that's about hedging or something that you go, wow, someone really smart wrote that. I wrote that, you know, he's just there for the joke.
That's right. That's right. I love it. So tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, have you thought about it in those terms? I mean, I know he's your dad, he's your boss, but yeah, I mean, there's something there about, you know, about following someone who's a legend. You know, there's pitfalls, you know, I mean, it's, you know, have you thought about that at all?
Yeah. Well, if I think about it too much, it's probably daunting, but my mind goes, so right after I graduated from the University of Texas, I went over to Europe to race bicycles professionally.
Wow.
And all these other kids at the time on my team, even though they were racing, they had kind of family jobs. You know, you work at the bakery, you work at the family bike shop. And it seemed like a point of pride that these Europeans would pass down things from one generation to another. Mm. In America, you almost get the sense of, oh, you're riding your dad's coattails. And so I vacillate back and forth between those things. At the end of the day, if I'm a fraud, I'm going to get found out. And if I keep doing good work, then that's going to be noticed as well. And so he makes the blueprint very easy. He has a certain writing style. He has a certain structure to the way he does things. He has a certain reputation in the industry that he leads by example with for me. And so I do my best to emulate that. And they say you become more like your parents over time. I resist that a little bit, but you know, in a lot of ways, when it comes to staying relevant in this mortgage industry, I have learned a tremendous amount from him, and I'm very proud to call him my dad and to have him as a mentor at the same time.
That's great. That's great. So tell us exactly what are you doing for Chrisman Inc. What are you working on over there?
So we split up the daily email. There's a team of people at Chrisman LLC. We have my dad, obviously, who's the head writer, editor in chief. Every opening paragraph you read is pretty much written by him. He always selects the jokes. He decides what sort of things he wants to talk about. Recently, it's been a lot of FEMA news or changes to PSPA agreement with Treasury. And so he is that kind of overarching umbrella. I will write the capital market section or any other sort of more in-depth pieces that you would see in there. And I also, as some of you may know, launched a podcast this year off of it. We've been having a lot of demand for, hey, we want an audio version of this so I can listen to the Chrisman commentary while I'm at the gym, driving to work in the morning. I don't have to actually open up my phone or my computer and stare at this for 5 or 10 minutes. And so we've turned it into an audio version, and we've tried to give people a little more, whether it's interviews or in-depth commentary. And that keeps me pretty busy.
Well, that's great. So we'll give you, that's great that you give your dad full credit for the joke still. So we'll, that is awesome. Well, hey, I can't thank you enough, Robbie, for taking out some time and sharing with us a little bit about your story, helping us get this, get the Renovation Radio podcast kicked off and off the ground. So tell us where can we find, what is your podcast called, and where can we find you guys?
It's Chrisman Commentary, Daily Mortgage News. All you would have to do is search Mortgage News on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Pandora, wherever you get your podcasts from. And like I said at the start of this interview, the honor is all mine for being on here and being your first guest. And I wish you all the luck in the world on your journey with the Renovation Radio here.
No, I appreciate it, Robbie. Thanks for being our first guest, and appreciate your candor and your humor, and look forward to catching up with you sometime down the road.
Sounds great, Mark. Talk soon.
All right, man.
Thanks for listening to the Renovation Radio podcast. Please help the show by following us and rating us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast. Please help us spread the word by sharing our podcast on your social media. The views, information, and opinions expressed on Renovation Radio are solely those of the individuals involved. Renovation Radio, because we're all work in progress.